Before we open God's word, let us unite our hearts in prayer. Our loving and gracious Father in heaven, with one voice we praise thee. With one heart we come together round about thy precious and living word. Take us by the hand as we have sung, and lead us into thy truth. And be present with us as we assemble in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Be with one and all that call upon thy name, with all of our brethren far and near, those in peace and those in trial. Provide thy comfort and the everlasting arms of support, strength, and help, for we need thee each and every hour. Bless thy word to our hearts. May we receive it with gladness, and may it be thy spirit that directs us into the love of Christ and impatiently waiting for his return. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. For our reading this morning, let us turn with the help of the Lord to the letter of James, chapter 5. Letter from James, chapter number 5.
Slobodno poslanica svetog apostola Jakova, peta glava.
Perhaps we could begin reading with verse 13 of the previous chapter and then read through chapter 5 as well. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Stablish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. The conclusion of the reading we have had this morning and this letter that James has written speaks of a sinner turning from the error of his way and deliverance of a soul from death. This is the hope and the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ that goes forth week after week while the time is here and while the opportunity is given. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him turn unto the Lord, and he will have mercy and abundantly pardon. While the day of grace is at hand, while this invitation to repentance and coming into the kingdom of God is given, may it be known and may it be repeated, and may it echo within our hearts, that God has made a way through his Son, Jesus Christ, and his suffering upon the cross, that we could have this hope that our souls could be delivered from death. And though our world and our lives may come in contact with tribulation and suffering, we have a word and a promise of God that Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. And his kingdom is one that is everlasting. And we have a hope of a life after this brief, brief time because of what he has done for us. And we give him all the praise and all the credit and all the glory for what he has made possible, that our sins could be forgiven and we could be delivered from death. And the word that is before us prepares us for this way and prepares our friends, those who desire, those who long and wish that there would be some way that they would be able to turn. Do you realize what are the things that are faithful? What are the things that are reliable? And what are the things that are fleeting and will soon vanish away? We don't need to say it twice, but nobody knows what tomorrow will bring. And we can have our plans for the future, and you can make your arrangements and your schedules, but this word that we have read even before chapter 5 asks us a question: what is your life? Is your life built upon the solid foundation of your plans and your expectations? Because as you go, you will find, and some have already found, that they are often disappointed. And things come up that we do not expect. And that solid foundation of our plans and our well-laid intentions disappoint. They're there for a time, and they vanish away. And so the future and our plans for the future and our expectations are not a solid foundation. Only the Word of God, only what He says will come to pass, is what we can truly build our life upon and count upon. If the Lord will, whatever the Lord's will is, that will come to pass. And there are things that are happening in this world that are directing towards the final consummation of all of God's plans and His revelation to mankind, the revelation of His glory, and it will come to pass. And each and every one of our lives has something to do with that. May we have the will and the desire to say, "The Lord's will be done." In the plans for my life, in the hopes and for the future, in the expectations that I set, we shall live. We shall do this or that. And may the this and that be filled in with the commands of Jesus Christ, that our hearts may be established. For Jesus has said, "The one that hears his commands and does them is the one that builds his house upon a rock." So when the times that do come and have come, where the storms beat upon our life, that we might stand, that we might endure, that we would live, and that eternally, according to the Lord's will and what He has provided, without any boasting in ourselves and what we can provide and guarantee for our future days, but only trusting and boasting in the cross of Jesus Christ, where we have found victory, where He has shown us true suffering and true love that we are to follow. May we place ourselves in Jesus' hands and say, "The Lord's will be done." Not only our future plans are unstable and unreliable, but also our finances. The warning goes out to those who have collected and have heaped up riches and are so close to them, as even as Jesus has said, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." If the treasure is on riches that will be cankered and rusted and moth-eaten, and our heart is so close to them, we will suffer loss. We will be disappointed. We will go up from this great height of enjoyment and pleasure, and when we lose it, we will be sorely disappointed. The miseries that shall come upon those who put their faith and trust in what they have heaped up and amassed. But Jesus has said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, but lay up your treasures in heaven." Dedicate all that God has given you in the material goods, in the gifts that you have, to win souls and to help others to see the love of Jesus Christ and the working of His kingdom and what it means to be obedient to His commands, and to show them a new and living way that's made possible through His death and resurrection, that has no hope in the gold and silver of this world. He says, "Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days." And we say, "Wow, how vain that is. What am I heaping together for the last days?" What am I busy collecting? What am I busy investing in? Is it anything different? Because the pressure of and the spiritual challenge in our culture is to resist against the message that gain is godliness. And to hear Jesus' words clearly, where we are to invest. The riches of this world are deceptive, the Bible teaches. And they're the source of all kinds of evil. It's listed here, greed and pleasure, and even going so far as to condemn and kill the just. All the wars and the fightings are because of the lusts that are within mankind. That is the world system that we have to be careful not to be a part of. And hear the word of God and what it's speaking to us. And there's a purpose for the provisions that God has given us. But we need to be careful with it. We need to be wise. Even as we look outside and as we were driving in, we see the ice that's on all of the tree branches. And it gives a very unique sort of beauty that isn't normally seen. But we know it's temporary. And we know that if it would stay, it would kill the tree. It would destroy the purpose for which it was created, to bring forth the fruit, to bud, and to provide a home for the animals. And so too, our earthly possessions, they're temporary. And if we hold to them and are encased in them and heap them around us and trust and hope that they will deliver us, they will hold us back from the purpose for which we were created. So the word teaches us, when you know that there's a snare, deliver yourself quickly. Flee from the love and the allure and the deception of the idea that you can make your life and your future and that finances will be a deliverance. But put your trust in the hand of the living God. And that's demonstrated. That's something that can be demonstrated in patience and in prayer, which we read of in the second half of this chapter. The believers are instructed, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. And he uses as an example the husbandman, the farmer, that waits for the precious fruit of the earth. There's not too many people that really are excited or put as their career goal to be a farmer, because there's a lot of hard work that takes place. Farmer is busy. He's not just sitting around. He's preparing the fields. He's planting the seeds. He's pulling the weeds. He's harvesting and he's processing. There's a lot of work. In the example of the patience of a farmer, the believer has much to do, much purposeful work and effort in showing the faithful example of our Lord to this sin-darkened world, in helping, in assisting, in praying, in being ready to give. But also the husbandmen, all the farmers, they know that even with all of their work, that won't bring the harvest. They rely so much upon the Lord to provide the sun, the wind, and even as it mentions here, the early and latter rains, which in Israel, they needed those early rains to help them soften up the ground so they could plow. And then later rains to help them with the harvest. We are always, as believers, in our patience, we are busy. We have much that we've been given to do in taking on the armor of God and standing and praying for the needs that are around us. Being willing to give, but we are also so very dependent upon the Lord. And that's how we be patient. Busy, but also knowing where our help is coming from. We have one who is far more reliable than the governments of this world, far more reliable than the monetary systems, even outside of nature and time, because we wait upon the Lord. His word is faithful. And so just like the husbandman is patient, when we find ourselves at the beginning of a time of trial, the beginning of hardship, we should not expect, just like the farmer, that immediately after the seeds are planted, that it's all going to be over. There's a time of growth. There's a times of purging. There's times of trial. And only after the seasons progress is there time of harvest. Set your expectations like the husbandman, that it will be hard, that there will be need to go to your closets to pray and to ask for strength to carry on. And wait upon the Lord. He will renew your strength. Establish your hearts. Many are saying that they have such good advice about how to prepare yourself financially. You need to listen to this person and listen to that person. But the Word of God says we need to not establish our financial kingdoms. We need to establish our hearts. Not in meats, but in the grace of God. And in the commands of Jesus Christ, as he has instructed, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And if it was nigh when James wrote these words, how much nearer? If the judge is at the door, as James is writing this to the church, how much more so? Is he stepping on the threshold? And are you ready to meet him? Turn from the error of your way. Repent before the Lord, is the word of Jesus Christ. To enter into the kingdom of God and believe. And as we patiently wait, instruction to the church, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. It's difficult when we have to be patient because things come up and it's grumblings come up because it takes a long time. But oh, I know every father who looks at their children, there are times of grumbling that they see, and it doesn't bring us any joy. When we see them working together for the good of the family, to help one another, to make things run smoothly, what joy that brings to our hearts when we see there's some future there. There's some hope for these children. They're learning. They're learning to sacrifice. I believe that's what the Lord also wants us to display in our love for one another as we are patiently waiting with one another, not isolating ourselves in our castles of riches like is described in the beginning. No, we're really needing each other and so much more as we see the day approaching. And we faithfully gather with one another. Because the word says to. And we will find that in making those efforts to sow, that we'll reap bountifully. And the Lord knows how he will provide. But we trust his word. And so we come together. And we find when we do experience challenge and hardship, how much value how much love there is and how much readiness there is within the family of God to love and help one another. Thanks be to God for that. And though I don't wish hardship on anyone, it is good to learn. It is good to learn how much we are loved and how much the Lord has provided for us and what his inheritance is in the saints. James also gives the example of the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Because when we patiently endure, there will be hardship from the world. And Jesus even said that. We often speak of the Beatitudes and talk of the beginning, but the end of the Beatitudes, Jesus says these words. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sakes, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Jesus gives us the example of the prophets. James gives us the example of the prophets, that we might see their witness of the faithfulness of the Lord and endure. And that of Job. When we look back to these examples, we count them happy which endure, because we see the end. But how hard it is in the midst of the trial. The patience of Job that lost all of his possessions, but did not curse God or sin against him. That is the effort. That's the work of the husbandman. But then we see, ye have seen the end of the Lord. There was a purpose for all that God had brought Job through. And though it was not revealed to Job, and it is not revealed to us, his purposes for the trials and the hardships that are coming upon the earth and into our lives, we take these examples and we believe that the Lord has good intended for those that love him, and that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. God restrained the hand of Satan when it came to bringing about his trials. God is of tender mercy. But Satan is a wicked taskmaster. So let us put our trust in the Lord. He is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Final portion of this chapter speaks of prayer. And as times of hardship comes, we are very acquainted with going upon our knees. And for any that is afflicted, any that is in need of strength in perseverance, let him pray. For any sickness, call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Pray for one another and pray with one another. Pray with faith. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. See the example of Elias, and who was a man just like us, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it didn't for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain. The earth brought forth her fruit. It's very seldom that God would choose to change the course of nature based on a prayer. But the prayer of faith to save the sick and the prayer of faith in repentance and turning from the error of our ways will make a difference. Will change not maybe this earth and the course of nature, but will change the course of our eternal destiny. Because he has offered that way that we through faith can be part of his kingdom and inherit eternal life. For all of our needs, we are to come together to pray. Jesus teaches us also to pray on our own, in our closets, not seen by anyone, and to get to know God. To have that quiet time, to let him work in our hearts. And I imagine that the husbandman, the farmer, as he is working in the fields, there's many quiet times that his mind and heart are allowed to think, that are allowed to ponder as he looks over the fields and thanks God for his blessings. And that is where the change takes place, so that we are ready when the test comes. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And we can see that fighting and wars and taking sides hasn't availed much throughout the entire history of man. But prayer and watching are what Apostle Paul says we are to be actively doing as we take on the armor of God, the shield of faith, as he says in Ephesians chapter 6. Maybe read these verses to exhort us unto the message of the Word of God that has been read and we have meditated upon. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. May the word of God direct our hearts to the patient waiting for Christ. May we learn and remember anew the foundations that are feeble and that are failing, being our plans for the future and our finances. But let us apply ourselves to the trust in the Lord, patiently waiting for him, being active in his vineyard, and taking serious the call and the tool of prayer, that our hearts might be one with God and we would know his direction. May God bless his word. Amen.
We read from the epistle of James, who said that he was a servant of God and Jesus Christ. He did not say, I'm the brother of our Lord, I'm the servant. And in this chapter, Apostle James writes, seems like many things that came to his mind, the needful things for the churches, he wrote down. And then at the end, he put it all together and wrote an epistle in the letter to all the churches, all the tribes that were scattered. And he speaks about the rich man, but he does not speak about rich men being sinful, but the sins of the rich people. It's a big difference. It's not a sin to be rich if God has blessed us, as I mentioned, even in Serbian language, those of you that understood. It's not sin being rich. If God has blessed us, we accept it, but not to trust in that uncertain riches
of this life. Not to put our hope and trust and everything in it, but to trust in our Heavenly Father, in His mercy and His grace. So it speaks about the sins of the rich, and it speaks about patience, as we all need to be patient, and then also speaks about, the Apostle James speaks here about the prayer of faith, very, very important, to pray, to keep in contact with our Heavenly Father. We stop praying, we cut the contact with God. We have nothing to do with God if we stop praying. It's communication that we need to have every single day. For those that are ill, for those that are going through different tribulations, problems, anything that we need to pray for, we need to be in constant, sincere prayer to our Heavenly Father. And He hears our prayers, and He answers them. Perhaps not right away, and perhaps not the way we ask, what we expect, but God knows our needs. He knows what we need. And He will answer every prayer if we bow before Him with sincere heart and ask Him to help us, to provide for us. And He cares for us. He will not leave us nor forsake us. He knows our needs. And He also knows what we want, but it's not always good for us. So let us ask, as Jesus said, ask ye first for the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things that we might need or do need will be added unto us. We should never ask for the earthly treasures. Because even Apostle Paul, as I mentioned earlier, tells Timothy to command those people that want to be rich not to trust in their riches, not to strive to be rich, but to strive to be rich in the Lord. That is what is important for us, to be rich in our Heavenly Father. We know that Jesus mentioned to the young man that was rich when he asked Jesus, he said, "What good can I do to inherit the everlasting life?" And then Jesus said to him, "How readest thou? You know the commandments?" So he names all the commandments, and he knew every one of them. He said, "I kept every one from my youth." Every one. He was done. And then Jesus tells him, "Lackest thou one more thing, just one more thing, if you want to be perfect. Sell all that you have and give to the poor. Come and follow me. You'll have treasure in heaven." Well, he walked away. Why? Because he trusted, not because he was rich, because he trusted in the riches. That was his life. He could not see himself selling everything. He just couldn't do it. That was the problem, not because he was rich. There are a lot of rich people, and throughout the whole Bible, many were blessed with riches. But many of them helped those that were poor, did not trust in it. Hope and pray that even these few words that we speak today would find room in our heart, and that we would meditate upon Him and live by Him. May God bless His holy word within our hearts. Amen.